That's not my concern. It's the news, according to me. Good Monday. It's still morning on the East Coast. It's 11:23 a.m. Monday morning, July 17th, 2023. I am your host, Kevin. It is my opinion that you're seeking by listening to this show. But more importantly, you want to know what's in my cup because you hear me sipping it with all the background noise there. I have one cup this morning, one cup, and it has one thing in it, a sweet tea, homemade sweet tea made by me yesterday. Now you're jealous. I don't have any chai this morning, just iced tea because it's already late in the day. I've already had my chai. I had a very busy morning this morning. I have a very busy week ahead of me, apparently, to some degree. I've been a busy week ahead. There's so much to talk about. This whole thing with Mike Pence. This comes back to my thoughts about Mike Pence and his general. I don't know how he comes across. There are some people in life that I have met who, people like John Kerry, who are absolutely arrogant and don't even hide it.
I'm John Kerry. I served in Vietnam and I know more than you do about everything because I'm John Kerry and I know everything. Let me explain to you. Don't talk down to me like that. Oh,
If you've heard any of the exchanges between, there's a lot of people who've had gone before Congress here recently in the last couple of weeks, and they are extremely combative, and I have appreciated so much the fervor and the zeal and the passion that some of the folks in the GOP have had recently trying to go after some of these guys like John Kerry. The one lady who is in charge of, I think she's in charge of the FTC, Federal Trade Commission right now. And then we have the general Christopher Wray and all those knuckleheads that are denying and can't talk about it. I can't make any comments about ongoing investigations. John Kerry's interview was interesting. And, of course, he had this. Now, what was interesting about this morning, there's a local radio station here that I listen to. Of course, at the top of the hour, they have Fox News on. They typically have Fox News. Now, the local news, of course, Mike Pence, because he was the governor here, they talk about him because he was the governor here and people know him and he's more of a local known thing. So they talked about him on local news. They usually have the local news, or they have the national news and the local news. So they'll have, the Fox News thing will come on, and they'll do their little top of the hour and bottom of the hour thing. And then they have during the breaks, it's talk radio, so they have breaks. And then they have the local news right after that, typically. Maybe it's the other way around. I don't know. I don't even pay attention. So they have this stuff going on. Well, in the process of doing that this morning, I noticed that they were saying a former Fox host or a former, actually, they didn't even mention the name Fox, a former TV host, former host, said it twice, and it was deliberate. They would not mention Tucker Carlson's name. And they wouldn't play his audio. Of course, because there's a pending lawsuit right now. So they had to talk about him without talking about him. And then they talked about this response that Mike Pence gave. Now, Mike Pence is one of those people who comes across as an incredibly humble man who's so principled and so measured, so careful in his responses and so presidential. He's trying to be so presidential with the pomp and circumstance. Folks, I'm telling you, I know some people like the guy. As a governor, he did a pretty good job as a governor. Now, not as good of a job as DeSantis has done. But he did a pretty decent job. But it's because he has political motivation. He he's not just doing. He's very careful about what he says, and when someone is too careful. Now, there's extremes here. You can go too reckless. You can go too careful. In my opinion, I think Trump is a little bit reckless. But he says what he means, and he means what he says. I can appreciate that. With Mike Pence, there seems to be a, I just have to say it the way I see it, there is this phoniness. I can't explain it. And it comes out of us. Now, this is just my observation on what I've known from people all my life in 60 years of living. The underlying thing that's happening here is that Mike Pence actually has a certain arrogance. He won't come out and say it because he's too measured in his responses and his control, but he actually thinks he's the smartest person in the room. John Kerry he thinks that you think he's the smartest person in the room, whereas Mike Pence wants, he just knows, you know, he believes he needs to talk down to you and talk to you like a child. McCarthy does this a little bit too, as well. And that's why I don't, when McCarthy speaks, you can put Trudeau right next to McCarthy when they speak, and they sound almost the same. They take the same breaths, and they talk about the same things, and then they do this, and then they do that. It's a phony speak. And this is where I have this uneasy gut twist feeling it's just a gut twist when I hear people like that speak. Because I know they're not being genuine. And it's uncomfortable for me. Literally. I had a guy one time, whenever he would talk to me, I couldn't look at the guy. I'd always look around the room. I was always looking at other things. I'd have a conversation with him. And he was always kind of in my face. And he'd look at me and talk to me. This is a guy at church. And one day he confronted me in kind of a passive-aggressive way. By talking about someone third person, and he mentioned to me, now I notice when I talk to you that you're always looking somewhere else, you're always looking around the room, you're not looking directly at me when we're talking. And what I wanted to say to him was, because when I look at you, it's just obvious that you're a phony. I can't stand to look at you. Nice guy. You didn't do anything to me personally. I didn't have any personal issues with the guy. But I'm sorry. I have a hard time looking at you because you're not genuine. You're hiding something, and I don't know what it is. I can go there. I can imagine, and I think I probably haven't. But it makes me uncomfortable thinking about it. And a lot of it has to do with his voice and in the ways his mannerisms and everything else. Now, I don't know. It's a strange gut feeling that I get with some people. I can't look at them when I'm talking to them. Now, there are other people who can't, when they're talking to you, they can't look at you. There's also that issue. Now, when I would speak to him, I would look him directly in the eye and I would talk to him. But yeah, I had a really uncomfortable feeling around him and his wife, basically, both of them, but mostly his wife, mostly him. Now, there are other people who I've talked to who they have closed their eyes and they're looking around. They're not looking right at you. They're kind of looking down and they have their eyes kind of half, they're kind of batting their eyes, kind of like they're trying to close their eyes. They're trying to insulate themselves from you. They're trying to speak without, like from behind something. They're trying to hide from something. Now, those are the kind of people, and Kareem Abdul-Jerrin Pierre, whatever, Kareem Jean-Pierre, whatever her name is. She does this all the time. And she stammers and stutters and has a hard time getting out what she's saying, and she kind of looks down. She's looking down at her notes, she's fishing for something, and she's also kind of batting her eyes because she doesn't want to look at the person in the eye and just tell it straight. Because she's hiding something. She knows she's This is covering up whatever it is, or smooshing over, or whatever. Avoidance is what it is. They're avoiding. And that bothers me too. So it can kind of go both ways with this whole closing of the eyes thing, looking around the room, not engaging eye contact with someone who's in a conversation. And knowing the difference between the two, I think, is important. But that's the reason I wasn't making eye contact, is because I was uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable with this other person that I just had this gut feeling about. Something weird there. So that just, anyway, been some interesting things happening along those lines. Now, DeSantis apparently has really blown it, I think, in a couple ways recently, and it kind of shows some of his immaturity, just lack of seasoning as a leader. And I don't mean immaturity in a childish kind of way. I mean, he just lacks the depth of leadership. He's done a great job in the short time he's been a leader. He needs some more time as a leader. He needs time to figure this stuff out. And somebody said it, I think, very well today. I think it might have been Dan Bongino. Dan Bongino was actually being interviewed by someone else recently, and they were asking him questions about the whole thing with the cocaine and the, you know, in the White House thing. And his response was very interesting. He's basically shaking his head going, "This, they know exactly who this was, and the fact that they've closed it down and said they're not going to say who it was says everything." He knows enough about the investigative procedures and the West Wing and everything else. He knows the place very well. He worked for Secret Service under both Bush and Obama. And he knows the procedures. He wouldn't get into any details, but all he said was, "No, they know exactly who it was, and they're covering it up." Whoever's deciding to do that is probably at the top of the piggy pile. And he's not happy about that. And neither are a lot of people who were former Secret Service, and we haven't had any Secret Service whistleblowers. Secret Service is a very interesting group of individuals, a very interesting organization behind the organizations. It's not a part of the FBI. It's not a part of the DOJ. It is strictly there to protect the president. However, they should not be able to protect them from. No, they can't testify at a trial. They can't, you know, unless there was a murder in the White House and they saw the president murder someone. That's probably the only way that they would be called into it as a witness to him to, in that respect. But it's normally they are not called in as witnesses to anything. Now you'll hear whistleblowers. Oh, these Secret Service agents are, you know, they're coming out as whistleblowers. I saw this on MSNBC recently. They're not even allowed to do that. That's not a part of what they're allowed to do. When you had the what's her name was before the January 6th commission and all that stuff, and she was saying, "Oh, clavicle, you know, he grabbed him by the clavicle," and he was blah blah blah. He was going to hijack the presidential limousine. He was going to take it to. I guarantee you, if the president says he's going to go somewhere, they have to make it work. That what they were saying was, "We don't have the assets. We can't do it. We can't get you over there." That's fine, but if he demands it to go over there. Believe it or not, he can get out of the car and go over there. It's one of those weird things where, yes, they can only do so much to protect him, but if he wants to do something that they can't protect him, then he's on his own. He could have done that. I guarantee you there would have been plenty of people around Donald Trump who would lay their lives down for that guy if he was to step out into the crowd that was there on January 6th. He wouldn't have been hurt or anything not intentionally in any way. And if somebody would have tried to, that would have been it. Now, Ray Epps, is suing Fox News because apparently they're going to go after Ray Epps they're going to try to indict him now. Now, this is all a smokescreen. At least they're finally doing their job. They're going to indict the guy. They're going to charge him with something. Because he was exactly doing the things that they're claiming Trump did. He was out there inciting people to go into the Capitol It's on record doing that. His story does not add up from beginning to end. Now, he claims he does not work for any government agency. He's very careful about the way he answers questions about those kinds of things. And you got Jamie Raskin, who steps up and says, "This is just some poor schmuck who showed up for one of your protests. He's one of your guys, and you're... There were plenty of other people who showed up for the protests who didn't do what he did, didn't do half as much as he did, and they're in prison. He's not just some poor schmuck. There's something more to this story. And the fact that Jamie Raskin would come out and mention him by name and stand up for him and protect him. When was the last time you saw that from the left? He's one of your guys. You don't have very many voters left, so you probably should be careful about ticking him off. Really, Jamie, you're concerned about Republicans losing voters. All of a sudden, you're concerned about that. You're just coming out, stepping up and defending this guy all of a sudden. That smells to high heaven. That's just pathetic. The fact that he did that causes more questions in my head. If they wouldn't have said anything... So anyway, why are they defending this guy? I'll tell you why. He was probably hired not by a federal agency. I wonder what his communications with Nancy Pelosi have been. I think that we're going to find at some point, either on this side of life or the other side, when everything is exposed, there was probably some communication between somebody that Nancy knows and somebody that Ray Epps knows. All I'm going to say about that. We have people gluing their hands to the street in protest of oil. Now, this is how crazy and nutty these people are. They go out and they glue their hands. I think they actually super glued their hands to a street. Well, and everybody who has seen this, the pictures of this thing where they're trying to get these people unstuck from the street. There's only three or four of them. I don't know. There wasn't very many of them. They're protesting oil. Well, guess what? Everybody, 90% of the comments under this little thing on the videos have been, leave them there. They glued themselves there, just leave them there. They apparently didn't figure out that they might need to get away from that thing eventually. Why are we spending time and money and effort? Just leave them there. Let them figure it out for themselves. It's not something that they accidentally slipped and fell down and their hand got stuck on the street. They put themselves there. And now somebody else is supposed to be responsible to take them away. And they're screaming and yelling about the pain. Oh, it's painful. Hello. Leave them there. That's what these people who are doing this kind of thing, just leave them there. Everybody just walk away. They're trying to get some kind of recognition or some kind of, what do they call it? They're calling it, trying to get awareness, raise awareness to their cause. I don't know what their cause is. All I know is that they're stupid. The ridiculousness of this whole thing. And so many of these protests are the same way. What are you really doing to advance your cause? All this effort that you're putting into it, all you're saying is, I don't have a job. I'm just going to go out and protest because I'm saving the planet. Look at me. Look at my virtue, how good I am, how wonderful I am. There's a video of a lady yelling at a guy sitting in a Tesla because he's sitting there with his car on, and she's all mad. Saying he's sitting there with his car on and he's destroying the planet. She's yelling at him. He's videoing this whole thing of her yelling at him. And then he takes his camera and looks down at the steering wheel. And of course, it says Tesla on it. He goes back over to her. He's trying to understand exactly what she's trying to talk about, what she's trying to tell him. She says, what are you saying, lady? I don't understand. What's your problem? I'm in a battery-powered car. You're killing the planet. Some people have this blind rage thing going on. And I think people are getting sick of it. People are finally kind of at their wit's end with this whole thing, and especially with the economy doing what it's doing. They're speaking of the economy, Bidenomics is now a term that apparently Joe Biden thinks is a thing. And what he doesn't realize is that people don't think that the economy is all that great right now. The rate of inflation has decreased now. The problem is we have not. Things are still too high priced. People are still struggling. So the rate of inflation has slowed, and they think that they're doing their job. You know, we were initially told this is a blip. It's going to go up. Things are going to go up in price, and they're going to come back down again. Just a blip. It's transitional. Then they tried to change the definition of what inflation is, and they go with core inflation. Well, it's just core inflation. Doesn't include like things that you actually have to survive, like energy, gasoline, food, those kinds. It just includes stuff that doesn't move very fast, like rent, housing costs. Those things. That's the core inflation rate hasn't gone up. Well, yeah, but that's day to day. I got to put gas in my car and eat food. So those things have gone up. That's where I spend most of my money. In fact, I would venture to say you probably don't spend as much on your home mortgage in a month as you do on groceries in a month. At least groceries and gas combined, I'm sure you don't. Well, hope you don't, unless you live out in California where you probably have a $10,000 a month payment, probably a $5,000 a month food bill. I'm here in Indiana. I'm not going to tell you how much it costs here because I don't want everybody coming here. It is dirt cheap here in Indiana. And let's just say I'm glad I live here. Now, there are still things that need some work. Property taxes, income taxes, those kinds of things. I don't like. We could do some of those things without some of those things. This recently saw I don't know how long ago this happened, but Anna Kasparian was one on the Young Turks. She's kind of waking up a little bit. She's waking up from the wokeness. She's actually kind of upset right now with the leftists, and all their stuff. And she realizes that this is not making any sense. And she's kind of getting a little red-pilled here, I think they call it. That's what the kids call it, when you kind of have a dose of reality. And she, I don't know if this debate went on between her and, what's the guy's name? The Daily Wire guy, Ben Shapiro. He was in a debate with her. Now, I don't know if this actual debate happened prior to her starting to red pill or if it's been since then. I have a feeling this actually happened prior to some of her red pilling because I think the one person you don't want to debate is Ben Shapiro. He talks extremely fast. He is extremely intelligent. Don't get me wrong. Some of his principles and his precepts are a little off. They're a little askew. I don't agree with everything, the conclusions he comes to. However, he's incredibly good at debating. He was one of the, like a top debater at some college that he was at, university, wherever he was. He was on the debate team. One of the things about debating is that they have to be able to speak very quickly to get as many words in as possible to refute the other person's claims. And so that both sides will talk very quickly. And the more words you have, winning the debate has something to do with being able to confront the other person with as many facts and knowledge and all other stuff as you can. And he was very good at that. He was well armed for the debate. He would come in, you know, armed to the teeth. And he still to this day can talk very quickly, very quick on his toes. He comes up with little slam remarks, which is, that's one thing. But being able to present facts and figures is a whole other issue. Larry Elder is very good at this as well. Larry Elder has statistics on cultural life that are just, he can just look at least like a buzzsaw. He just go right through all the stuff that people say. Well, you know, whatever it is, they can't do this or that. And he just comes back with bang, just blows it all away. Ben Shapiro is one of those people. And Anna Kasparian, whatever her name is, Kasparian. She's not a stupid person. She's intelligent, but that she is kind of the epitome, or was the epitome, of what Ronald Reagan would say. The problem with Democrats is not that they, there's, what is it? How do you say it? I'll butcher it pretty badly. It's not that they don't know anything. It's just that what they do know isn't true, or something to that effect. So they know all these things, but they're not true. They know a lot of wrong information, and they go by that. And the Democrats, the leftists in general, have been more of an emotional party, an emotional ideology. Now, recently I heard, I want to get into this a little bit. I don't have a whole lot of time for this show, but I wanted to get into this a little bit because it is, I think, essential to understand that we are in an ideological war right now. Until we recognize that, we will continue to go down this road of, well, we just need to compromise. We need a centrist. There's no centrist here. You can't be centrist in a diametrically opposed ideology. There's no centrist moderation thing. There's no compromise in this. Because what we're talking about is an ideology that is diametrically opposed, completely antithetical to what the founders established and wanted to establish as our country, as our nation. And I think that's why we need to be very careful about calling the Democrat Party a Democratic Party or a Democratic candidate. Because it has this, it smooths over this tone of, oh, we want to be democratic about it. Well, they want to be collective about it. They want to call themselves democratic. And who are the people who want censorship? When the big three, I call them, I can't remember the guy who used to be the head of Twitter prior to Elon Musk. And you got Zuckerberg, and then you got the other guy who was in charge of, Snapchat, whatever it was. I don't know. It's a couple of different social media things. And they had these three guys up there, and they're being grilled by Congress. And the Republicans were concerned that there was so much censorship. The Democrats were concerned that there wasn't enough. So they all had, so they would all say, well, we're concerned about censorship. And the problem the Democrats had was there wasn't enough. And on the Republican side, there was too much. Of course, they were mostly just censoring conservative thought. Because we are in an ideological war. The ideology of the left is based on a social construct that is collective. The founders, which I think the GOP has done a terrible job educating people on. Our curriculum in our schools should be based on civics and the understanding of the government. We had a class called government in high school. I had all the credits I needed to graduate, and I basically just had to finish out my senior year, and I had to take a certain number of credits to get through the rest of the year just to be there. I actually think I had enough credits by the end of the first semester that I could have probably just not taken any courses, but there was one. You had to take a certain number by a minimum just to be in the to be considered in the school before you graduated. And one of those is government. Everybody knew your senior year in high school, you're going to probably take government class if you didn't, you know, just to get through it. So that you had something you were taking, because it was basically just a show up and be there kind of class. And so I did. I took that. It was my second semester of my senior year, and it was pretty good. This is back in the 70s, when we still had some of that. Now, I had social studies as well, and social studies was, I remember having that in junior high school, and the teacher, I'm pretty sure, must have been a conservative. Now, he never said anything about it. He was a Republican. He never said that either. But looking back on it and the way he taught the class, it was pretty obvious. That's what he thought. I mean, he was definitely along the Rush Limbaugh way of thought. Now, at least with regard to the founders and the founding of the nation and our rights, our liberties, all those things. And I think he did a pretty good, he wasn't the best teacher in the world, but he did a good job of conveying those, you know. What kids get now in school, social studies, is no longer based on any of that. It's based on social agendas. A total shift in culture with regard to the way we think about social studies. The end justifies the means, or the greater good for all. You should be willing to sacrifice your individuality for the greater good of all. And it's become more of that. There is definitely a collectivist mentality and a collectivist agenda, ideology now in the school systems, regardless of how conservative you think the school system is. It's definitely creeped in every aspect of every school, in my opinion. Unless you go to a private school that has a specific mission or agenda to keep those things. Speaking of which, I hear this thing about the conservatives are trying to conserve this, they're trying to conserve that. Conservative means conservative government, limited government, smaller government. It's conservative. There's kind of two different definitions of the word conservative. One is you try to conserve something, conserve the ecology. You conserve nature, whatever, your nature conservist. You conserve nature. It's not about conserving something. Being conservative, it's more of in the lines of a religion, like a conservative Catholic or a conservative Mennonite, conservative Methodist, whatever you're going to call yourself. Conservative means you are more involved in, you're not liberal with funds, you're not liberal with ideologies, and not in allowing things to happen. You're more conservative in your views and your particular lifestyle. That government then is conservative. It's limited. It's not necessarily trying to conserve the old way of doing things. Oh, we just want to go back to the way it was in the 1950s. That's not what being conservative is about. We don't care. We want to have advances in technology, advances in the things that serve humanity better. But we want things that serve humanity as individuals better, not just, well, the collective view, if we just get rid of this particular group. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. In the church, I was listening to a sermon the other day about Rome, and the pastor was talking about things that were happening in Rome and the way the Christians were being persecuted in Rome. Now, stop and just take a step back from this for a moment. The persecution that happened to the Christians, the early believers, the those who believed in Messiah early on in the early church, the ecclesia, the way, those people were vilified. They were looked down upon. They were considered less than human. They would put them in the arena, in the Colosseum. And they were a joke. These people were, oh, they're just Christians. We're just going to. They were, where does the mentality for that come from? Where does the spirit behind that ideology come from? When you tie their bodies to poles in the streets and light them on fire to light the streets at night. Oh, I'm just walking down the street having my little stroll with my family. Oh, look, it's so nice of them to light those Christians on fire on the pole there. light up the street so we can see to walk down the street with my family here. Isn't that kind of a grotesque and morbid type thing? They literally, and apparently there was nobody who wasn't a Christian standing up for them. Maybe there was, but there's no record really of anybody really protesting this whole thing, treating human beings this way. Now, I would offer an argument that same spirit that was alive and well back then, persecuting the early church, is still alive today. The ideology, this idea that Christians are subhuman or that they're somehow belittled in society and they're disposable, is very much alive today. They don't come right out and say it too often, but their attitude certainly is there. I saw it was by the Telegraph. I subscribe to a lot of things on YouTube that are not necessarily what I wouldn't say I follow them or agree with them all the time. I want to know what the other side is saying. So listen to both sides. And this thing from the Telegraph had a headline, and there was a little article. It was about this issue. I guess there's a pastor over in the UK who's had a big youth conference every year. And Matt Redman was a part of that. Matt Redman, for those of you who don't know who Matt Redman is, Matt Redman wrote a lot of songs that you've probably sung in church and didn't know who wrote it. Blessed Be Your Name. 10,000 Reasons. How many songs could I mention that there's at least a dozen that you probably sang. Continues to be a very prolific songwriter. Now, he came out recently and said that he's kind of parting ways with this group because he realizes that the accusation, this is early on, he was a part of this guy's church. And he's not very well known here in the U.S. because he was such a big guy in the U.K. It's very well known over there. Kind of like a Dr. Charles Stanley here would be not well known over there kind of thing. But he came out and made this statement. Well, the Telegraph came out and had this, the evangelical world is being ripped apart by, you know, statements from the abuse from from Matt Redman and all these. A lot of the comments, you go through the comments and you realize most of these people who are subscribed to this thing have no idea, they're not Christians, first of all. I seriously doubt that anyone who's genuinely a Christian in today's world, at least in the U.S., has not heard of Matt Redman. Now, they may not know him by name. Again, like I said, people who aren't into music are people who are basically, they'll go to church, they listen to the music, they sing the songs, may not know who Matt Redman is. And you can be a believer and not know who Matt Redman is. However, it's the majority of Christians, I think, probably have heard his name. It's kind of like Chris Tomlin. Now, Bill Gaither and some other people like that, they've been around there's a whole generation of people who don't know who he is, but there's a whole generation of people who know him very well. Or have at least heard his name. This article was completely slanted and made it sound like the evangelical world is being ripped apart. That's not what's happening at all. We don't put our faith in a man, first of all. So that doesn't happen. We don't get ripped apart by this stuff. But the mere fact that so many comments on there were saying, I've never heard of either one of them, or I've never heard of Matt Redman. I don't know about they're insane. Or then they would have all kinds of these comments about how terrible the church is and how, oh yeah, well, the church is always, you know, they're a bunch of pedophiles, blah, blah, blah. As if pedophiles don't exist outside the church. As if, the Christian church is just all messed up with all these people who are all messed up. And somehow outside of the church, that implies that somehow outside of the church or those who are not part of the church are somehow so much better because they're not part of that pedophile group over there. Trust me, there's plenty of pedophiles outside the church. Probably, I would venture to say, there are fewer in the church than there are outside the church. But guess what? The church is made up of people, and people have a tendency to be the way they are because they're selfish. They're not perfect. That's why they need the church. That's why we need to go to church. We need to understand what the message of the church is that we don't walk in because we're perfectly clean. It's just the opposite. We walk in, we're part of it. We believe what we believe because we are not able. That's what grace and mercy is all about. Now, hopefully, we can renew our mind with the washing of the water of the word, and we can grow. You can become someone different. Our character can change. We can be more Christ-like as time goes on. Not act that way, but be that way through a genuine work of God's Spirit within our heart. But that takes time. We will always fall short. Now, there's this, we're not going to get into this theological part of this too much today. I just don't have time. I really don't have time. I was hoping I would have more time today. I don't. Tomorrow morning, there might be a show at this point. It looks like I thought I was going to have to be taking off on a trip tomorrow. It looks like it won't happen until the next day. Now, I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the week. There's a very good possibility that I'll get called out to do something tomorrow. However, tomorrow morning looks fairly decent at this point. So I'm going to probably do what I can to do a show tomorrow morning. Now, the next day, Wednesday, live Wednesday, may not happen. I'm thinking about going with, I'm going to see what my schedule looks like here in August, but I'm thinking about maybe possibly a live Monday or Tuesday might be more possible as the week, as next month, as we roll into next month. I have to look at my days off again and see what my schedule looks like. In the meantime, I wanted to bring up some of these things and just talk about them quickly today. I might try to dig down a little bit more in some other things tomorrow, because as time would have it, I have to draw to a close here. However, I do want to thank you all for listening and putting up with my lack of shows lately. However, my listenership is still up there. When I do put out a show, it's right up there. I've got some very devoted folks, and I can't tell you how much that means to me. I'm very grateful that people want, especially if you listen to this point of the show, it means you put up with me all this time. Or maybe you just fast forward to the end. That's possible too. I don't know. But in the meantime, folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for hearing me out on some things and having an opinion of your own and as we work through some of these things. God bless, folks. Have a great day. Have a great rest of your week. And I hope you had a great weekend. And take care.